Now, O Lord, take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for yourself, Lord Jesus. Please sit. Now, what follows now is not a party political broadcast on behalf of the Conservative Party. See, Theresa May has now announced that she's to be leaving her post as Prime Minister. Now, I'm no expert, but I guess that within the Conservative Party, there will be a mixture of concern, excitement, nervousness and expectation. I think those closest to and love Theresa May dearly will perhaps be a little pessimistic. Those who can't wait to see the back of her may have a mixed mixture of optimism and uncertainty all at the same time. And while the Saracens fans and the Exeter fans will be delighted at their forthcoming visit to Twickenham for the final of the Premiership, the Gloucester and Northampton fans, they're experiencing a mixture of sadness and uncertainty and despondency following their semi-final losses. Bereavement, redundancy, moving house, changing jobs, and becoming a parent. They're all some of the major examples of times of change which can cause people to be stressed, concerned, uncertain, and pessimistic. And in our gospel reading, the disciples had in many ways been riding on the crest of a wave in their time spent with Jesus. They've had 3 years of intensive learning, experiencing teaching and community living. They had witnessed healings, and they had come to realize through a variety of miraculous signs that Jesus was no ordinary man. Good times were just around the corner. Life was to get better. Being around Jesus was as good as it got. He was the one to be with, and what a time to be alive. Do you ever look back at the past with misty eyes at times that have gone by, about when good times and friendships and experience of fellowship come to an end? And it's perfectly natural to be left feeling somewhat bereft. Now, Jesus was meticulous in the way that he sought to prepare his disciples for his bodily departure from the world, from this world. In verse 28, he was also very careful to encourage them to look forward, to be ready for the gift of his Holy Spirit. And that was in verse 26. And things were never going to be the same again. Back in verse 23, Jesus says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them. And we will come to them and make our home with them." And the result of the disciples loving Jesus is that they listen to him. They keep his word. Now, as we know, a loving child, it does what their parents ask of them because it's out of their love for their parents. It's because they honour and respect them. And as a result of the love that we have got for Jesus, the Father is also able to come and dwell within us. On the other hand, those that don't love Jesus, they won't keep his words. And the implication is that the Father won't come and dwell with them. But what does it really mean for us that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us? Well, first of all, the Spirit imparts power of God's service. If we had started back near the beginning of the chapter, in verse 12, it says that the one who believes in me will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Well, what were the works that Jesus did? Well, he healed people, he taught people, he proclaimed the gospel of God's kingdom. So presumably, God's Spirit will therefore empower us too to do these things. More particularly, the Spirit will empower us for the work to which Jesus has called each one of us. For example, telling others about Jesus Christ. When we share the gospel with our friends, it's the Holy Spirit who'll work in their hearts to convince them of the truth of what we're telling them. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is that it reminds us of what Jesus has taught us and so enables us to obey. The Holy Spirit speaks to us when we need to know what to do, and it reminds us of God's words to us. And this is a whole new way of relating to God. Because do you remember how in the Old Testament, how God spoke to his people then? There was Abraham sitting by his tent, and up walked three men. He invites them in, and they start giving him a message from God. And it turns out that they're angels. Samuel is sleeping in the temple, and he's woken by what he thinks is Eli calling his name. But it isn't Eli, it's God speaking with him, with a message for Eli and the people of Israel. Gideon's out threshing wheat in a wine press, and up comes an angel to tell him that God wants him to go and rescue Israel. In the Old Testament context, God has to use angels and intermediaries, prophets and priests to warn people and to instruct them on how to live. But now this has all changed with the coming of the Holy Spirit. By Jesus asking the Father to send the Spirit to dwell in us, to remind us of what Jesus has taught, to bring God's words back to our minds. So we now no longer have to wait for a priest to remind us about the law. We no longer have to wait for a prophet to come along and tell us what God wants us to know. God can speak to us directly through his Holy Spirit who dwells within us. And finally, the coming of the Holy Spirit will bring us peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Verse 27. Now that's not the sort of peace that the world gives. I think this peace is for an inner peace, an inner tranquility of spirit, not removed from the responsibilities and relationships of the world, but built up and experienced in the midst of it. That's the sort of peace that Jesus promises us here. It's a peace born out of a living personal relationship with Jesus himself, deepened through a growing surrender of our lives to the rule of the Holy Spirit dwelling within. And it's a peace based on our faith in Jesus' promises. And that's why Jesus points out to them once again in verse 29, "Now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." The faith we have in Jesus promises the peace we have because we believe those promises are based on solid evidence. Evidence like this, where Jesus warns them beforehand what will happen, so that later they will be convinced of who he is. So how should we approach this, perhaps, issue of personal prayer? If you're God's child, he wants you to speak to him. And what's more, he wants you to show your dependence on him. He delights on giving you all good things. But it's more than that. Even when God sees us, he sees someone in whom God's Spirit is dwelling. He sees someone who is truly made in the image of God, in a way that Adam and Eve weren't. He sees his own reflected in us, his own being reflected in our spirit. And secondly, we need to be aware that as a Christian, prayer is more than just sending a message up to heaven. Because God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. When we pray, God is present in our praying. Paul puts it like this: the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. That's taken from Romans 8:26-27. We don't need to be afraid of asking unworthily, because the Spirit himself filters those prayers for us according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is given to all who love Jesus Christ to empower us for his work, to teach us all things, and to give us a real and lasting peace in the knowledge that Jesus has overcome the world. How do you receive that gift of the Holy Spirit? By being one who loves Jesus Christ. And how do you know if you're someone like that? And it's by the way you desire to obey his commands. Now, during the next 12 months, God alone knows what new circumstances will face our church here in Ducklington, and what we will face here as a village, as a nation, as individuals and in our families. Some of us will suffer unexpected bereavements. Good friends or relatives may have to move a great distance for a new job, perhaps. And people that we currently rely on may no longer be here to be relied upon. Earlier in John, verse 18, Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Jesus was going. He wanted his disciples to be happy for him, that through his death, resurrection, and ascension, he was returning to his Father. However, he was also promising the Holy Spirit to come and live within them as counselor, comforter, encourager, advocate, and helper. To be his witnesses, we need that same Holy Spirit. So let's pray that we will be open to his Spirit, that God's Holy Spirit would be present in each of our lives in a real way, that we would recognize his presence and draw great comfort and peace from it as we enjoy being part of God's own family. Lord, whatever our futures may hold, please can each one of us know your peace. And please can each one of us be filled afresh with your Spirit. May we know you as our counselor, comforter, encourager, advocate, and helper. Amen.